Good morning, listeners. Today I'll be speaking to Shuttle Toppy, a project coordinator of the SA. Good morning, sir, and thank you for your time.
Good morning, Sevuyile, and good morning to your listeners.
I understand that South Africa Constitution stipulates that the public and the media has a right to access information. I understand that Sarah Batman libraries, some of them are out internet. I understand that VSA is doing something in this regard. I wonder if you can actually tell us about what you are doing.
Yeah, so VSA is an organization that strives to use information and communication technologies. And for those of your listeners who find that a strange term, it means basically computers. We try to use computers to make the lives of community members, and particularly youth, better. And seeing that there are no internet access in libraries now in a lot of the libraries in Sarah Batman, what we provide is we have a computer lab in the JOSA Youth Hub where community members can come and use the ICT resources there under the guidance of our organization.
Okay, in 2010, you developed a social opening platform called AwareNet. Please share some light about it.
Yeah, so that was the beginning of our organization. That was based on an observation by our founders that a lot of the schools that they observed in Grahamstown and in the wider Eastern Cape had computer labs, but these computer labs were mostly underutilized. So basically, the computers were just standing there without teachers or learners using them. And secondly, a lot of the computer labs didn't have internet. So what they developed was a unique platform that you can actually access offline. What it means to access it offline is basically that even if you don't have internet, you can put up a local network, and learners then can, in a way, you create a kind of little mini internet. So learners can then collaborate on that platform and add their profiles, collaborate on school projects, etc. And
Okay, and also recently you have established an AwareNet Open Lab by at the JOSA Youth Hub. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, so the idea behind the AwareNet Open Lab is exactly what we talked about earlier about the lack of access to information and the lack of access to internet and computer resources in the community. Yeah? So we have our own computer lab at the JOSA Youth Hub. What we did last year was that we basically opened that lab to all community members, but particularly the youth. We have in afternoon particular hours that are dedicated to schoolwork. So, and those who come, learners who come to do homework or school projects, they have priority to use the lab at certain hours, and we are there and guide them. At other hours, any learner or community member in general can come and use the lab for whatever purposes, whether it's just access to gene information in general, whether it's writing a CV, whether it's looking for a job, whether it's reading the newspaper online, etc.
Okay. Sometime I have paid a visit at the Youth Hub. It's like buzzing every afternoon. I've seen quite a number of pupils from various primary school. They go there in numbers to access internet using the open lab. Mm-hmm. Now my question, how do you ensure that those learners, they use that open lab to do a school-related work? Because they might use it for other reasons, or like go to YouTube or watch the previous episode of wrestling, etc. How are you ensuring that the kids, they only do school work related?
Yeah, well, we don't want them to just do schoolwork. As I said before, we prioritize those who want to do schoolwork and school projects. Like you say, it's buzzing there. The demand is higher than the supply. So basically, we have more people who want to use the computers than there are computers. Huh? So hence, we obviously have to make some kind of selection who's gonna be able to use computers. And then when there are people who want to do school projects, we prioritize those. Huh? However, don't think it's a problem necessarily that learners use the internet for entertainment purposes. because or use computers for the intended purposes. You must remember, a lot of our learners actually never been exposed to computers, neither in their home environment nor at school. For them to use, you also learn to, you know, you when you think something is fun, you learn faster actually. And for them to use it for entertainment purposes, it's not necessarily bad, because they that is a way for them to increase their ICT skills, to be able to increase their skills of using a computer. So we don't say just schoolwork. We say schoolwork, no, that's highest priority. However, if there is time and computer is available, yes, it's fine to do a game on the internet, so long it's an appropriate game for the age group, etc. So, in addition to that, we also organize clubs for these learners. So sometimes our lab is open for anyone to come, but other times it's reserved for certain clubs. For instance, we now have a journalism club at our computer lab. So some of our members of the Open Lab, they sign up for that. We also have a social science club. We have a movie club where they learn how to use computers and internet to create movies and use also cameras, etc. So we have a lot of activities surrounded to. So sometimes there is kind of free time to do what you want. Sometimes schoolwork is prioritized, and other times there's structured activities. So I think we think all those things are necessary. It's necessary for kids to use computers for entertainment, but it's obviously very necessary for them to use it for school projects. And also necessary for them to have structured guidance around the use of computers.
Okay. When the organization was born out, one of ideas of an enrolled veteran was to actually create job opportunities for young people, especially the local youth. How has the organization ensured that they meet those ideas?
Yeah, so we think that the exposure to ICT makes the opportunity to use the internet and computers in general for school related work does enhance learning outcomes at schools, and we have seen learners that have gone through our program that who are from disadvantaged backgrounds, who have gone on to university, and who are thriving there. And we don't think that's only our feat, but we think we have contributed to that. We think also not only academically, but also in the workplace, in the modern workplace, it's a necessity to be able to have basic computer skills. And we know a lot of learners from disadvantaged backgrounds, when they come into the work environment, one of the things that is an obstacle for them is that they haven't been exposed to the use of computers. You need to have some basic knowledge, and it's not rocket science to the basic knowledge of computers these days. But if you have never been exposed to a computer, then you're going to sit there at your workplace and be mystified by the computer standing there. So we're quite certain that we have in that way made the learners that have gone through our programs more marketable in the workplace. We also have, we have one of our previous learners and who later went on to become an intern, who was selected through our program to be part of an exchange program with Germany. So he's actually now working in Bremen in Germany at the youth hostel in Bremen in Germany. And he was McVey Boko is his name. So McVey, if you're listening now, hi. Hope you're doing well in Germany in the winter.
Okay, there are vast majority of schools around Grahamstown that have computer facilities. Often they stay unused for various reasons. Some of them, they are not even connected to internet. How are you assisting those schools, especially those with untrained teachers in this regard?
Yeah, so currently we are doing two things there. Firstly, we have established a course for teachers. That course was started. We had a pilot pilot course last year with teachers from two of local schools, Archibulequa and Nombolelo. This year we hope to get on many more teachers because we now have recently achieved something called CITA accreditation, which basically means that teachers, when they enter our course, they will receive points for this, which points that are recognized in the South African education system. So what we do when we train the teachers there is that we're not training them just to be computer literate in general, but we're also training them how to use their ICT resources when teaching. So basically how to use computers for educational purposes, how to access the internet and find the right things when it comes to your subject. If you're a maths teacher, so where do you go? Because one thing is to have the computer lab there and, you know, but what do you use it for in, for instance, maths? Then you go, then we will show you how, what programs are on the computers and what internet sites to visit, etc. And also, we also have a lot of offline content that in South Africa, there is a lot of free offline content. For those listeners who think this terminology is a little bit technical, offline content means things that you don't need to access through the internet. You can have it on your computer without going to the internet. And we have a lot of offline content in our computer labs, in our own computer lab, that we are happy to give away to schools, because this offline content is not copyrighted. It's produced in South Africa and related to the so-called CAPS curriculum, which is the curriculum that is used in South African schools now. So there's like videos about every subject. There's games and programs related to the subjects, etc. And this we can very easily just transform and put into the computer labs of the schools, and then also give teachers training in how to use those that offline content.
Okay, you alluded to the fact that you also train teachers to utilize computer, and some of the teachers that you train them to develop lesson plans based on whatever they're gonna teach. Now, I just wanna find out, do the teachers, especially around Grahamstown, make use of this open lab at the Youth Hub?
Yeah, so we had a course. We had a few teachers last year who made use of the lab. We have we conducted our course there. We have teachers. We have informed the teachers about this open lab, and a lot of them are sending their learners there. We do hope that this year, though, that a lot of more teachers themselves will participate in our teachers' course. If they want to participate, they must contact us at AwareNet at the VSA. AwareNet is our program. VSA is our organization. They must contact us at the JOSA UTHUB, or they can go to our website www.awarenet.org. They can also contact Department of Education, a local branch of the Department of Education, because we are cooperating with them, and they are willing to support us when it comes to our course. So, I think teachers just need to be what we have found is that a lot of teachers are enthusiastic about the potential in when it comes to computers in education, but they need a little push, and they need to be aware of the opportunities and be aware of that there are people out there like us wanting to help them use it.
Okay. Earlier, I've alluded to the fact that Sarah Batman District has a lot of libraries. Mm. Many of those libraries, they do not have internet. What's your impression about this?
Yeah, I think that is a scandal that libraries that actually have received money and resources for having computers and internet do not have it, because large majority of community members in so-called township areas and rural areas, they do not have access to these resources at home, and there's also not enough resources at schools, as we talked about. They are not often used enough at school. So libraries would really be a perfect place for people to access these resources. And it's not just about school kids receiving or school kids improving their school results by being able to research on the internet or etc. But it's also about general information and civil participation, in the community. A lot of these days, a lot of news, a lot of discussions, a lot of information is transmitted through the internet. So a large part of the population then is left out of that. So I think, there's something really government should focus on to get every library in Sara Bartman and for that sake in the rest of the country to have superb computer and internet resources. And there is in principle no reason why that shouldn't be possible. The department has the resources and the skills are there to put those resources in. It's just a matter of political will.
Okay, VSA is a non-governmental organization. In other words, you do not receive funding from government. Who is funding the organization, by the way?
Yeah, so we have a few local funders here in South Africa. We have recently received funding from an organization called the Learning Trust, which is an organization that basically supports non-profit organizations with financially, but also with capacity building. And they themselves source the resources from different foundations and from private business, etc. We also have received funding from a foundation called HCI Foundation, which is actually the it derives from the investment arm of the South African Trade and Clothing Union. We are also received funding from a Rotary Club in Germany. We also receive regular monthly donations from Germany because we have a sister organization in Germany. And some of our founders, as you mentioned earlier, Anna and Ron Wertlen, who previously lived in Grahamstown, they now reside in Germany and have there established a sister organization of the VSA. So basically our funding is partly overseas, but partly also from within South Africa. And we have also received funding from Rhodes University in some of our projects.
Okay, does the Xhosa community make use of this like open lab?
Yeah, like I said before, it's been we were surprised how many people came when we opened it, and we actually did not even advertise. It was purely word of mouth. We put it on our Facebook page and our website, but apart from that, we didn't really advertise it. So I think 99% of the people who come are that's word of mouth. So our main problem, is not to attract people. Our problem is to manage the long queues of people who want to use the open lab. One solution that one thing that makes the situation a little bit easier is now that we're going to actually open a second room with computers. We received a donation of computers from Rhodes University, so now we're going to have more computers starting from next month, which we are very grateful for Rhodes to give us all those computers. Then we're going to have at one of the labs. Then we're going to have more courses, both related to school projects, but also and schoolwork, but also in general other activities. And then the other lab will then be more open for anyone to come. So in the long run, though, we cannot. There needs to be more open labs like this in the Grahamstown community, because we clearly there is a huge need for it. So we hope that more schools will maybe replicate our model, and we hope that at libraries will maybe replicate our model. I can mention one thing about our model is that we have it. It's open. We recruit also community members to be lab supervisors. So we want to make this something owned by the community, not something like we're coming from the outside and, you know, we're managing it all. But we want the community to be part of it. So we pay small stipends to community members. And most of them have been our previous learners in our program. A small stipend for them to supervise the lab and assist and basically maintain the lab. So that model has worked very successfully, and I think that's the way. Also, there's no reasons why schools couldn't do the same thing and have their labs open throughout the day and maybe even after school for learners to use. Because what we find now in a lot of schools is that because of lack of resources of supervision and maintenance, a lot of schools, they close the labs most of the day. Their computer labs are closed. So this is a kind of a public resource there, computer labs that have been put in by government or private owners that is not efficiently used. And we hope that schools can maybe follow our example. And we actually have a project. We're trying now to apply for funding for a project where we will replicate our model in some of the local schools close to our labs.
Okay. South Africa has quite a number of young people from primary school to high school who are unable to read nor write. How are you actually helping those young people in terms of eradicating the illiteracy? How is your organization helping them to ensure that they read a lot, they read for understanding?
We actually have firstly, when used properly, computers and internet can actually increase reading capacity also. Obviously, YouTube videos won't increase your reading capacity, but when you are on websites, when you regularly use websites or email, etc., that is also something that increases your reading capacity. Secondly, we have a lot of books that downloadable books offline that are offline on our computers in a computer lab, and we try to tell the kids about this, that this is some books that you can just go in and read for free here. We also try to encourage them to use things like Funsa, which is a free platform where they have a lot of stories for youth, a lot of quite nice and relevant stories for youth in South Africa today, which easily readable in both in English and in other South African languages. So we try to. So it's also linked to what I was saying before about you don't need to reading. If you want your child to read well, you need to learn to teach the child to read for pleasure, or you need to show the child that reading is fun. That's what we're trying to do also, to show them that here there's a lot of you can do. So we want them to sit in front of those computers and look at things for fun. And we're very happy if they look at books there for fun. And we also have actually a lot of audiobooks. Audiobooks, of course, are not, they don't make you read. You sit there and listen to the audiobooks. We have headphones and they can sit there and listen to the audiobooks. And it's also fun offline. However, I think that listening to audiobooks also make you interested in actually reading these books. Or reading more books. So I do think the exposure to our program and Open Lab do contribute to increasing reading capacity, which you rightly point out. It's a huge problem that people, they might be able to function, they might be able to read and write, however, not really functionally, not really able to read and write a whole text. And understand the context. So yeah, people just need to read more, and kids need to read more, and everyone needs to read more.
Okay, except VSA, I understand that there are other youth development program or project that are taking place at the Youth Hub. Can you tell us more about them? If anyone wants to become involved, where he or she must go? Or what is the first step that the particular person should follow?
Yeah, so the JOSA Youth Hub is basically a collective of different non-profit organizations that all work with youth and youth development and education. And so we basically have the municipality has been good to us and given us a part of a municipal building where all our offices are located, including our computer lab. So the different organizations that are there, apart from us, is the something called, firstly, the Access Music Project. So they basically train students in music, and they do kind of rigorous music training. They teach them they don't just come and sing and randomly, but they come and teach them rigorously in the use of different instruments and also how to read notes. And they want to bring up kids who can have a professional future in music. Then there is the Reading Club, which is an organization that wants to promote reading, they mostly work with younger children, which is obviously the most, by far the most important age group when it comes to foster a love of reading. So if you catch the 8-year-old when it comes to if you catch the interest of an 8-year-old when it comes to reading, he can be hooked for life. And then there's also Upstart, which is an organization that basically try to help community or to teach community journalism to high school students. So they have a selected group of high school students who get trained in doing journalism in cooperation with Rhodes University. Then we also have an organization called the Toy Library, which is quite interesting. They have it's a library, but they don't have books, but they have toys. And this is obviously aimed at quite small children, but small children can come there and borrow toys, take them home, and then bring them back again. And the toys are obviously designed for, you know, to be educational and to be, you know, to be something that are good for small kids to play with. And obviously the background for that is that a lot of in the local community in JOSA, a lot of children do not have toys, and if they have, it's very few, and so it's a way to stimulate children with the use of toys. The Rhodes Community Engagement also has an office by us in JOSA Youth Hub. So the Rhodes Community Engagement is basically the entity at Rhodes University, which deals with work that students and staff at Rhodes do in the local community in Grahamstown. So it's open. We have students from the university coming and helping out in our different programs.
Okay, finally, what are your future plans going forward?
Yeah, so we actually want to become a model for how to use ICT resources, that is computers and internet, efficiently. We want to show how our model of an open lab, our model of a supervised open lab where we also have different activities and where we have community involvement and community supervision and community ownership, how that can be expanded. And there's no reason why this cannot be, such a thing can be opened all over South Africa. And there's endless of schools and community halls and libraries that have ICT resources, but these resources are either not used or they are not maintained, and there isn't a structure around it. These structures are not so difficult with proper organizations. These structures are not so difficult to establish. So I hope that we can become a model for that. And I also hope our teachers course, that we will have many more teachers joining our teachers course. I think that is if we get the teachers on board when it comes to using ICT in education, then things will run much more smoothly. Teachers can then also themselves take ownership of their computer labs, and if they don't have good enough computer labs in their or lacking computer labs altogether in their schools, they can become a pressure group to Department of Education and other relevant players to demand those resources be installed then and maintained then and be at the high level.
Okay, I almost said it was my final question. Now, you've mentioned a thing about a teacher's course that you also conduct at the VSA. Now, if, let's say, there's a group of teachers that actually want to attend one of the of these courses, what is the first step they must take?
They must go to the JOSA UTAB, or that's one option. They can come to us at the JOSA UTAB. Normally there after they, no teachers are busy during the day teaching, but after school, after 2-3 o'clock, when mostly the actual teaching is over at most of our local schools, we are there at our after offices until at least 5 o'clock. Otherwise, they can also go into our website, www.awarenet.org. And then they can submit there. If they have a query there, they can just send that. Or they can actually also contact the local Department of Education here in Grahamstown. You're also aware of our course. So, yeah, we hope to.
Okay. So are these courses for free or I must pay some sort of some cash?
Currently they are for free, yes. They are.
Okay, there you have it. That was the coordinator of the VSA project, which is situated at the JOSA Youth Hub. A lot of activities, or a lot of things are happening. If ke ungumhlali walapheqini unezinto ofuna uzazi, especially when umntomcha ungaske to make sure you pay a visit so that they can explain to you more about what they are doing as OVC SA in terms of developing young people, especially those who are computer illiterate. That's it from my side. My name is Sivuyile Ndawone.